All right, how's everybody doing today? That's when y'all say yes, high five, things like that. Thanks. My name is Jarvis Parsons. I'm the district attorney here in Brazos County. And I want to thank y'all for being here today as we spread an important message. Before we get started, I want to recognize a couple of people right off the bat who have made this day possible. First, we would be nothing without law enforcement. So representatives from Sheriff's Office, Bryan College Station, Bryan Police Department, College Station Police Department are all here today. First, Chief Deputy Stewart is here from the Sheriff's Department. Chief Buskey, as well as his assistant chiefs, are here in the front row with Assistant Chief Rawls, Assistant Chief Darby, as well as the College Station Detectives Division in the back here are very well represented. Constable Lampo is there in the back as well. I also want to thank the County Attorney's Office, Rod Anderson, who's here, who's also is with us in the fight against domestic violence. So thank them for being here as well. The Probation Department is here as well. Colonel McGuire, thank you and your people for helping us in the fight against domestic violence as well. I'm so thankful for y'all's attendance today as we come together to end a serious problem in our community. I just want to start off with a couple of statistics to kind of let you know how serious this problem is. 74% of Texans say that they or someone close to them are victims of domestic violence. 47% of Texans have reported a personal experience with domestic violence. 31% of Texans have reported being severely abused at some point in their lives. And here in Brazos County, over 50% of our violent crime that are felonies are domestic violence related. 50%. Those are the numbers. But here's why it's personal. On April 6th of 2009, I was celebrating the birth of my daughter. She'd only been alive about a day at that point, but I had to come back to the office to deal with a case that involved the murder of a young woman named Rachel Joyner and her brother Travis Joyner. And I got a chance to meet her parents and grieve with her parents on that day. And I realized how important this was. You see, Rachel tried to break up with her boyfriend, and in a rage, in a domestic violence rage, he gunned her down, as well as her brother Travis, whose only crime was trying to help his sister. That's the reason why we're here. That's the reason why domestic violence is so personal. And when I became district attorney, I was determined to do something about the domestic violence in our community. So we went to work. We analyzed the numbers, and we set out to decrease 50% of our violent crime. Before 2014, a victim may have been contacted by a prosecutor 5 to 6 months after her offense had happened. We decided in my office that that was too long of a time. And so with the work of my staff, who's in the back over there, we decided to change that. Many times for a domestic violence victim, 5 to 6 months afterwards, the pain and the bruises and scars are gone, and they may be back with their offender, destined to repeat the cycle of violence. Now, within a week of receiving the case in our office, we are making contact with those victims before the case is ever indicted, talking with them, offering them services, giving them a chance to break the cycle of violence. As a result of that, convictions have gone up significantly and dismissals have gone down significantly. That takes a lot of work. And so I want to give a round of applause to the people that actually make this happen. I'm the guy that sits out in front of the camera, basically. But it's the staff, the legal assistants, the investigators, and the prosecutors in the district attorney's office that make that happen. So if you can, please give them a round of applause for that. They work around the clock, nights and weekends, just to make sure that justice is being done on a regular basis. And that, in conjunction with the county attorney's office, where we work right in conjunction with Laura Ostegain and Flint Maskey, who help us out with protective orders and let us know what's going on at the misdemeanor level. So we have unprecedented cooperation with law enforcement from Bryan, College Station, University Police Departments, the county attorneys, and the district attorney's office. We have a united front. Now, that's good, but what we learned is that even after seeing unprecedented success in the courtroom, that's not enough. I believe that we could do better. And so we went to try to find ways to make sure that what happened in April 6, 2009 doesn't happen again. So that if we can save one life from a domestic violence, murder, homicide, or even abuse, or even a child that's in that situation, then we were going to set out to do it. So we started looking for unique ways to be able to get information to women to try to prevent domestic violence, to try to make sure that we don't have to come in, the police don't have to come in on the back end of crime, and women can leave and escape and don't have to fear economics or threats from abusers who want to take their children. So we started looking into unique ways to get the word out to women. And today I want to announce that our office has launched an effort called Cut It Out. Cut It Out is a program dedicated to mobilizing salon professionals and others to fight the epidemic of domestic abuse by building awareness and training salon professionals to recognize the warning signs and safely refer clients and colleagues and family to local shelters like Phoebe's Home. And so what you see behind me is just a few of the young ladies who decided to step up that are salon professionals and step up and be a partner with us in trying to end domestic violence. And so if you could give them a hand right now, I'd be very appreciative. Salon professionals are in a unique position to recognize the signs and symptoms of abuse in their clients and coworkers. Because of the intimate nature of the relationship between salon professionals and their clients, they can often spot the signs of physical abuse and others may never ever see. Because they're skilled and experienced listeners, interested in those around them, many victims who are suffering feel comfortable talking to their stylist, even though they may not ever go to a police department, even though they may not ever report a crime. For an abused woman, the salon may be the ideal environment to seek out help because it's one of the few places that an abuser may not go. With proper training on how to recognize the signs of abuse and safely refer victims for help, salon professionals can become invaluable and influential community partners in the fight against domestic violence. Now, my goal in November, when I talked with my staff, and my goal was that if we could train 100 stylists in the year between November 2014 and November 2015, it would be a success. And so I hatched this plan with members of my staff, Linda Chandler from Phoebe's Home, Gloria Terry from the Texas Council of Family Violence. And I said, if I can get 100 stylists, it would just be awesome. Well, we've been at the program for 40 days now. And I can tell you that in 40 days, we have trained over 115 stylists. 115 stylists have jumped on board. These stylists see anywhere between 100 to 150 clients a month. That's 100 to 150 women that each one of them can affect on a monthly basis. And I believe that we're now going to increase the goal to 200 stylists. And I think if we save one life, one woman, one child that gets out of that abusive relationship, one woman that says, no more, I'm not going to stay because of economics or abuse or a threat, then we've done our job. And then we don't have to go in and grieve with parents after that point. That is something to be proud of. And I want to thank people like Priscilla Flores from Funky Chavot, Charlotte Green from Chrome, Tiffany Henley from Catwalk Hair Studio, Tracy Gilstrap from Charles and Sue's, and Laura Wagner from Celebrity Hair Salon, who said yes to breaking the cycle of violence in their communities. It's because of them that this initiative is even possible. So as we go forward in 2014 and 2015, the goal is increased to 200 stylists. And the personal challenge now is to all of you who are hearing this. If you know of any organizations that can benefit from knowing the warning signs and safely referring women to places like Phoebe's Home and the National Domestic Violence Hotline, please call our office at 979-361-4320. We will go to them, we will train them whenever and wherever we possibly can, because it is that important. Regardless if they never ever call the police, and we would love to do that and prosecute those offenders. Women need to get out of these situations. Children who are in domestic violence households are 2 to 7 times more likely to then be either perpetrators of domestic violence or stay in those situations. And we can't have that in Brazos County. Every woman needs to know how to get her kids out of that situation. And every woman needs to know that law enforcement, the prosecutors, Phoebe's Home, and the National Domestic Violence Hotline stands united in ending domestic violence in Brazos County. So I thank you for your time. I want to introduce a couple of people and kind of get you the order of speakers that are going to be next. Next, Gloria Terry is going to speak. She is the CEO of the Texas Council of Family Violence. After her, Linda Chandler, the director of Phoebe's Home. Our local women's shelter is going to speak. Charlotte Green, the CEO, and I call her the big person on campus, Chrome, the owner of Chrome, is going to speak. Priscilla Flores, the owner of Funky Chevaux, and then Miranda Russ Henderson, who is an aide in Congressman Bill Flores' office, is going to offer a personal story about domestic violence. Thank you for being here, and thank you for partnering with us to try to end this. This is a real thing. It is a serious thing. And we're going to do everything we can to end domestic violence in Brazos County.
Good afternoon. As D.A. Parsons mentioned, my name is Gloria Terry. I'm the CEO of the Texas Council on Family Violence, and I'd like to offer some brief comments. But before I start, I'd like to let you know how I came to know D.A. Parsons. The Texas Council on Family Violence is a statewide nonprofit advocacy organization that works on a multitude of levels. We look at increasing policy that bolsters the safety for victims of violence. We work to represent over 100 domestic violence programs across the state, just like Phoebe's Home. And certainly we look and look at all the intersection systems that impact a system's trek through justice. One of the systems that we work through is the criminal and civil justice systems. And for a number of years, the Texas Council on Family Violence had been hosting a judicial summit, bringing together judicial leadership from across the state to understand the complexity of how domestic violence cases presented in the courtroom. The Office of the Governor was interested in our approach and said, "We've got some funding. We'd like you to take the same approach and use it with the prosecutor field." We quickly partnered with the Statewide Association for Prosecution, which is the Texas District and County Attorneys Association, and hosted the first statewide summit for elected prosecutors 2 years ago. D.A. Parsons happened to be in the audience and was kind enough to have accepted the invitation, was a very active participant in that summit. In that summit, as we were winding down that particular meeting, he was the first person that spoke up and said, when are we having this meeting again? And let's do it soon." That immediately identified where he landed as an elected official and the issue that could strongly influence a direction of domestic violence response from a prosecutor field. We quickly convened a leadership group of prosecutors. It's a group of about 10 to 12 prosecutors, mostly elected from across the state, to help inform what processes and safety mechanisms can we do different in that field. How do we define success in prosecution? And again, D.A. Parsons brought his intellect, his critical thinking, and just the good energy that he exudes, but certainly his commitment to addressing the issue of domestic violence. I mentioned that we're a statewide organization. We represent programs like Phoebe's Home, and I would say that here in Brazos County, you're fortunate to not only have a very progressive, innovative thinker in D.A. Parsons, but you also have a victim services advocacy organization that sets the gold standard for servicing this community. So part of the reason for asking me to speak, D.A. Parsons gave you a little bit of statistics, and I'd like to be able to tell you part of our work that we do at the Texas Council on Family Violence is serve as a think tank. We analyze data, we identify areas of the state that may need additional attention, we identify if there's any particular trends that we need to keep a close eye on, and one of the reports that we publish every year is called Honoring Texas Victims. This is the only comprehensive statewide report that analyzes all the deaths of women in Texas that have been killed by a boyfriend, husband, former boyfriend, former husband. And in the last report that we issued, 119 women were killed, again, by a boyfriend, husband, or a former partner. I would venture to say that if we lost 119 women in a plane crash, we would immediately identify what was a mechanical, was it a mechanical or a pilot failure? Let's investigate what caused that tragedy. And so with that, I just give you that information to let you kind of ponder on that a little bit. To further delve into those statistics, I can tell you that the age of women range from 17 years old to 85 years old. So when we think about the 17-year-old, her biggest worry should be, who's taking me to prom this year? Not having been killed by her boyfriend. And when we think about the 85-year-old woman, and in this particular report and this year, there were two 85-year-old women. These are women that should be looking at their, reflecting on their lives and enjoying their golden years, not having had their life had ended so tragically by their husbands. And then there were another 100-plus women within that age group that were resulted in their fatality as well. So we identify, are there parts of Texas where fatalities have increased? What do those fatalities mean to those particular communities? So in those 119 incidents of those murders, an additional 17 people lost their lives. 5 were children and 12 were adults. We also know that there were 55 children that witnessed those homicides as well. And we also know that 186 children and adult children lost their mothers in those incidents. So when we talk about what can we do to bolster and be an asset and be a service to the community, I think we've got an answer standing right behind us. We can't take our eye off the ball with law enforcement or with prosecution. But they're not in this alone. They need some additional support from the community, and this is an important way in which to do that. I can also tell you that not only were these 119 women who suffered such a tragic outcome, we also know that about 84,000, primarily women and children, access services because home was not safe. So 84,000, primarily women and children across the state, had to access services like those offered at Phoebe's home. That should get us thinking and spurring and thinking deeply about different solutions. Again, not taking an eye off of the strategies that have already worked within the civil and criminal justice systems, but how do we get broader approach? I would say that many of us that I speak to believe that domestic violence is invisible in plain sight. And I'd like you to think about that for a second. Domestic violence is invisible in plain sight. We know it happens. We know it's probably happening down the street. We probably know it's happening to a friend or family member. And we can discount what's happening. We can reason away, or we can step away from it because it's so uncomfortable to talk about. But I believe that this approach that DA Parsons has sparked, that Phoebe's home is able to make those services available, I think that diminishes the fact that domestic violence is invisible in plain sight. In closing, I would say to you that at the end, it comes down to Elizabeth, Francisca, Shamika, and Ernestine. These are just 4 of the women that are listed in that report of 119 women that were lost. And so when we stop and think about what change do we want to create, what change can we make in our own homes and in our own communities, I think this is a tremendous step in that progress. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, and thank all of you for being here today. I'm the program director. My name is Linda Chandler. I'm the program director for Phoebe's Home in Bryan, Texas. Our domestic violence program, which serves not only residential clients at Phoebe's Home, but non-residential clients, is under the broader umbrella of Twin City Mission. Every year, we serve over 400 victims of domestic violence in the Brazos Valley region. Founded in 1978, Phoebe's Home is a 24-hour emergency shelter for victims of domestic violence. Services are provided at no cost in all of the Brazos Valley region, including Brazos, Burleson, Grimes, Leon, Madison, Robertson, and Washington counties. We want everyone who lives in our area to know that if they are in a domestic violence situation, we're here to help. All of our services are at no cost. We want everyone to know that whether it's a friend or family member, or if you're the victim of domestic violence, we have services to provide to help you, one, to talk with those individuals that are families or friends and know how to talk to them, maybe help you understand what that person may be going through or what some of the reasons why they may not be ready to move out of that situation. And then, of course, we want to be there for the victims themselves when they're ready to make a change in their life. We offer shelter, legal advocacy, counseling by licensed professional counselors, career assistance, and case management to all victims in that 7-county region. We want to thank the district attorney for making domestic violence a priority in our area and in his office. We're honored to be here today, and we appreciate the work that all of the district attorney's office does to help victims of domestic violence and to support the work we do. Most importantly, we want all people who live in our area to know that if you are in a domestic violence situation, and if you don't feel safe in your home, we're here to help. Please call us if you need help. Our domestic violence hotline number locally is 979-775-5355. And the national domestic violence hotline number is 1-800-799-SAFE. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Charlotte Green from Chrome Salon Experience. I've been in the salon industry for over 30 years and I've seen thousands and thousands of women. When people ask me, what do you do for a living? I say, I make people look and feel better about themselves. And it's been said that nothing affects our mental health more than the way that we look, and nothing affects the way that we look more than our hair. So women are trusting us to alter that image. They're giving us their full and complete trust by letting us enter into their personal space and into their personal lives. They trust us to tell us some of their darkest secrets, and honestly, they tell us things that we don't want to know, too. But this is going to be a wonderful program to offer our guests and women a discreet and confidential way that they can get help. And I'm extremely thankful that the salon community has been asked to be a part of this, because we all are the people that women are seeking out to make themselves look good and feel better. And I think we always go to a place where we feel better when we're in trouble. So I would just like to say thank you from the entire salon community for believing and trusting in us and allowing us to touch the lives of thousands of women, not only here locally, but I believe that this program will spread statewide. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Priscilla Flores, and I own Funky Chapeau Studio, and we were asked by Jarvis to participate in this program, and we are really excited because we want to be able to give our clients and women that we work with on a daily basis the outlet and the place to go if they need that help. Our stylists are here, and they're super excited about being part of this program. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for being here today. My name is Miranda Henderson. I was asked to be here today to speak to how my life has been affected by domestic violence and why this is such an important issue to me and to our entire community. On October 29th, 2000, a woman named Norma Sepulveda Esparza Galindo was at a family cookout when her husband lost his temper and began a fight. They left for home shortly after, and the fight continued. After hearing Norma's screams, a neighbor called 911, and 3 minutes later, my father, Ward County Sheriff's Deputy Lee Wayne Russ, was the first officer to respond at the scene. Upon entering the home, Deputy Russ inserted himself between Norma and her husband who was stabbing Norma with a large knife. In his attempts to protect Norma, my father was stabbed 19 times. He was then pushed out of the way, and as my father leaned against a dresser in the bedroom, Norma's husband continued to stab her. He was only stopped when my father mustered the strength to retrieve his service revolver and fatally shoot the man before succumbing to his own wounds. When backup arrived just minutes later, all three had died. Norma and my father were each the parents to three children. In just a few moments, six children and teenagers had a parent taken from them in the most violent fashion because of domestic abuse. If Norma had had an opportunity to speak with someone, get the resources, and get the help to leave her violent husband, she and my father might still be here today. My father might have been able to see me start high school, graduate college, and meet my husband. I hope that my father's story demonstrates how domestic violence does not just affect one single victim, but harms entire families and communities. Any law enforcement officer, such as our sitting in the front row, will tell you that a domestic violent call is one of the most dangerous that our officers face and among the most feared situations that they enter. I applaud our district attorney, Jarvis Parsons, and his office for their commitment to this very important issue. And I'm confident that this initiative will have a positive impact in the fight against domestic violence. Thank you again.
You know, I had met Miranda probably 2 years ago, maybe, and got to know her. And it wasn't until the domestic violence vigil that I got a chance to really know her story and why this was so important to her. So thank you, Miranda, for sharing that. And so we're just so thankful that you're here to share your story. There are a couple people before we go any further. I did not, as a DA, you always forget stuff. University Police Department is here. Alan Barone, Lieutenant Alan Barone. There he is. They're here. I talked to their office, and they would say that they would send a representative. They're definitely on board. County Judge Dwayne Peters is here. Thank you, Judge, for supporting. I asked him if we could use this atrium right here, and he said absolutely. So I thank you very much. And then Executive Director of Twin City Mission, Doug Whedon. Doug is right there. Thank you very much for being here. I want to thank all of you for attending. This is the first time that we've done this, and hopefully it won't be the last. We want to try to end domestic violence in any way, shape, or form. And so this is a unique way of doing it. I think it's a smart and effective way of doing it. But we're going to keep having these conversations because we want to root out crime. It saves officers' lives. It saves women's lives. It saves children's lives. So we are in it for the long haul, and that's our job. That's our calling. That's why we do what we do. So thank you for being here. And if are there any questions at all before we end it up? Any questions at all from the audience or from the media or anything like that? Okay. Going once, going twice. All right. Well, thank y'all for being here. And we're just happy that there's so much support for ending domestic violence. Thank you.